Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys start with a surprise firing of the Titans head coach, Brian Callahan, and also discuss if the Giants struck gold with their dynamic rookie duo of Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to week six on the What Do They Know podcast. Nick and Jeff back with you. And if you are wondering, yes, we did plan the matching hoodies.
Absolutely, 100%. It's more telekinetic.
Yeah. We're just jiving. No.
We have much of a choice, to be honest.
Yeah, no, we didn't plan. We can't wear our Saints gear, can't wear our Jets gear, can't wear our Yankees gear, can't wear our D-backs gear, can't wear our Sun Devils gear.
Yeah.
So
options are limited right now.
Dude, I told Jeff earlier, I said, I think historically from Sunday to Sunday, this past week was the worst sports week of my life. And that's saying something, right? So the Jets got waxed by the Cowboys on Sunday. The Yankees got waxed by Toronto on Sunday. Then the Yankees got eliminated on Wednesday. Then, in the biggest game of the year to date, ASU, Sam Leavitt, their All-American quarterback, undisclosed injury, went from probable to doubtful to out in less than 24 hours. They got waxed by Utah.
Yep.
And then the Jets got sacked 47 times against the Broncos on Sunday. So I'm in sports hell right now. So this is as good. This is what I have. This is what I have to look forward to. So it's you guys.
Yeah.
How was your week, by the way?
Not as entertaining as that one, I'll tell you that. I mean, I'm lucky and fortunate enough for that my teams are already eliminated. They're gone. I don't have to worry about it at all. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, Philadelphia, I think, has a stake to claim for worst sport week.
Or at least worst sports day. Worst sports 5 hours.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yep. Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, you name it. Whatever was in Philadelphia was not having a good time. But, I'm here. I'm just enjoying myself at this point. I came in expecting a bad year by the Saints, and I mean, I'm not disappointed. Everything is living up to expectations.
But here's the thing, though. The Saints are at least
competitive,
the scrappy team. They're the competitive, scrappy team that you don't, quite frankly, I don't know that you want to play them.
Right.
Because on any day, they could knock you off.
Yeah, they're still, like, evolving in sort of a way. I mean, like we talked about last week with Spencer Rattler. I think he's just been improving every week. I see a lot of positives. It's still a lot of signs of a young team, but honestly, I've enjoyed watching them play, to be honest with you. Outside of that Seattle Seahawks game, where they just got absolutely blown out because of special team errors and just everything just went sideways on that game. I mean, outside of that game, everything's been really, really fun to watch.
Speaking of Spencer Rattler, I don't know if you saw or not, but your take on Spencer Rattler got a ton of tractions on TikTok. Shameless plug for our TikTok at What Do They Know Pod.
Yeah,
give us a follow. But yeah, we got like over 2,000 views, got like 50 some odd comments, a lot of people agreeing with you.
Saints fans, dude, huddle up.
One guy was a 49ers fan saying that, like, he watched them play and he thinks they're going to be great, like this, that, and the other. I was really surprised how many people thought that you were spot on.
Yeah, people are rallying around Spencer. Really. I feel like everyone likes a good story of a quarterback that doesn't just, like, you know, give up and is actually, like, trying to do the right things with the football. And you see a lot of reckless play, I feel like, especially at our young quarterbacks. But I feel like Spencer Rattler is evolved beyond that. And that's the things I see, the positive things I see out of Spencer Rattler. And it makes me excited for the rest for the season.
Well, at least you have that.
Hey,
I've been, every time I text my dad about something, I end the text with "I hate sports." All this week is what I've been doing. I hate sports.
I hate sports.
End of text. All right, let's jump right into it. We'll kick it off as we always do with some top stories. Sir, what
do
you got?
Me. All right, I will start off with the biggest news. I'm Brian Callahan. Getting fired from Tennessee.
Just a few hours ago.
Yep.
Just brand new on a Monday.
Yep. So the firing season has begun for NFL teams, which is, I wouldn't say surprising, but...
I was very surprised. I would have bet the house that it would have been Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniels or, I mean, before Jackson Dart, probably Brian Daboll. But yeah, Brian Callahan, a little bit out of left field, but... I feel like we understand where Tennessee's coming from. I mean, coming from Mike Vrabel, who's doing wonders in New England right now, standing at 4-2 as a team right now. Brian Callahan was 4-19 over the past season and a half. So that's, I mean, Vrabel has as many wins as Callahan has over a span of a year and a half. So that's where Tennessee's at. Obviously, losing to the lowly Raiders, you can't really defend that. Mike McCoy is going to take over head coaching duties in the meantime. He has some prior experience, I believe, coaching with the Chargers a few years back. But, I mean, to me, it really rallies around Cam Ward and his development, and I feel like there's a lot to be left to be desired for Cam Ward and that entire offense in general. Obviously, Brian Callahan came over from Cincinnati from being the offensive coordinator there. So everything just has not worked out or panned out the way I feel like the Tennessee Titans front office is kind of hoped for or imagined. But I mean, you can only do so much with limited talent there in Tennessee. I'm not going to rag on Brian Callahan too much as an individual, but maybe that's a reason to rag on him because he wasn't leaving too much of an impression, to be honest. In terms of Tennessee, where do you go from here? I don't know. I mean, Cam Ward has been sacked the most in the league, 17 times, I believe. At least the NFL. It's a dumpster fire until you can fix your offensive line and give Cam Ward the opportunity to actually shine and do the things he needs to do to improve himself as a legitimate quarterback. If Tennessee's not going to give him the opportunity, all you're doing is spoiling the number one overall pick that you had last year. And at that point, and it doesn't matter who you put at head coach, it's just not going to work. But yeah, for me, that's where the firing carousel has begun. So we'll see what Mike McCoy can do for the rest of the year with Tennessee. And if they decide to go some other route there in Nashville.
Yeah, so I think this is a huge disservice to Cam Ward. I think that this is a prime example of why quarterbacks don't develop or don't turn into anything is because of the instability around them. And quite honestly, it's the Bears last year all over again. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily have a problem with eventually saying that Brian Callahan is not the guy. I think his win-loss record was like 4-19.
4-19.
4-19. So yep. Atrocious, right? He hasn't won. Right. So here's my thing. So take away 5 of those losses. He was 3-14?
3-14.
Before this year. So why let him draft the number one overall pick?
Mm-hmm.
Make the decision to fire him prior, like, just clean house, right? And it's the same thing that everybody said with the Bears. Why did they give, and I'm blanking on his name, the head coach,
for Matt Eberflus?
Eberflus, thank you. Yeah. Why did they give Matt Eberflus the opportunity with Caleb Williams when if he was already on a short leash, why wouldn't you just cut ties and give a blank slate for Caleb Williams to develop? Now, in this case, you could argue that it worked out well for Chicago because they got, the offensive guru, the offensive wizard that they did, but who knows if that's going to happen with Cam Ward. I mean, now he's going to have a whole new offensive play call next year, a new coaching staff, and the guy's 6 games in.
Yeah.
So to me, I hate when teams are impatient.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, not to make this about me or not to make this about the Jets, but like I'm right there. Nobody's more impatient than me right now, but I'm not going to sit here and call for Aaron Glenn's job
right
after them being 0-6. It's literally his first 6 games.
Right.
So you gotta let it. I mean, what I keep telling myself is Dan Campbell and the Lions started 0-8.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that everybody says he's just like Dan Campbell, blah, blah, blah. I'm hoping it's the same thing.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you gotta have patience.
Right. Right.
Whether that's the Titans with Brian Callahan, whether that's the Jets with Aaron Glenn. Like, if they were gonna make the move now, if they were even thinking about making the move before they drafted Cam Ward, they should have done it.
Mm hmm. Yeah, I mean, this follows a trend of the past 4 quarterbacks that got drafted number one overall getting their head coach fired the first year. I mean, it goes back to Trevor Lawrence getting Urban Meyer fired back in 21, and then Bryce Young with Frank Reich. Then, as you stated before, Caleb Williams with Matt Eberflus.
Dude, that is crazy.
Yeah.
That's a crazy trend.
Yeah, so I think it goes to show how if you draft a quarterback number one overall, guess what? The rest of
you're
your team
suck.
The rest of your team sucks.
Yeah,
like it's terrible.
Yeah,
you're not building around your quarterback in the most efficient way, and you're not giving them the proper chance to develop. Because honestly, verdict is still out on all those quarterbacks.
Like,
I'm not completely convinced on any of those quarterbacks really being able to lead any of their teams to a championship game, or let alone a Super Bowl victory. To be honest, so it's one of those things where. I mean, yes, I feel like if you're going to have a number one overall pick, you should bring in a new regime and have patience after that. But to be honest with you, to have, you know, a second year coach or whatever your coach start with a number one overall pick, it just never bodes well. And I unless you're going to really revamp your offensive line through free agency, which usually these teams don't. It's just putting everyone in a bind, and it's just a ticking time bomb before something happens.
Agreed.
Yep. And then my second top story is more drama over in Miami. So it's just a dramatic week over here. Tua came out with after their loss to the Chargers, 29-27, I believe. Came out and said, pointed at the leadership of the Miami
Dolphins.
Dude,
he put everybody on blast.
Yeah. Even though he's part of the leadership.
Correct.
So that was weird. And then saying how some players are late, some people don't come, and then they ask him to, you know, reiterate. He's like, no, some people are just late. To me, the entire thing, I think he started realizing what the media was about to do to him and to that team as soon as he said it. So it's rough days in Miami right now. I mean, for the most part, at least they're competitive.
They should have won yesterday.
Yeah, they should have won yesterday against the Chargers. The Chargers are kind of falling back down to earth, I feel like. But in terms of Miami, I feel like Darren Waller has been lightning in a bottle on Devon Achane.
Devon Achane has been great.
He's been phenomenal. It's just Tua just has an act for creating turnovers for no apparent reason. I mean, he threw for three interceptions. He's one of those guys that, you know, I feel like he needs to look in the mirror and be like, hey, what can I do to improve before he starts calling out other players? And I feel like a lot of players in Miami are going to look at that and be like, hey, it starts with you. And it's rough.
Yeah, it's either going to be great that he did that,
mm-hmm.
or it's going to be really bad.
Oh.
Like, I could see guys being like, dude, what? WTF. Like, and just completely having the opposite reaction of what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Or, right, guys could be pissed off and be like, hey, he's calling us out, he's right,
right,
and let's get our stuff together.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be the latter.
Right.
Right. I think it has more of an option to be. There's always a joke that, like, whenever you have player-only meetings, it's never good. So that's yeah. the first thing. You're calling meetings, which is not a good sign. But then you have dudes not showing up or showing up late.
Yeah.
How do you not blast them into oblivion? And like,
it says a lot for, I feel like, their team culture and the culture that Mike McDaniels has kind of established there. I know Mike McDaniels is more of a guy's guy, I guess, a bro.
He's a player's coach.
He's a player's coach.
It's like Rex Ryan,
yeah.
for example. He's a player's coach. You're not going to get your butt chewed out. And you're going to love playing for the guy,
yeah.
but your discipline may not be there.
Right. And that's, I feel like, what Miami needs right now, especially when Mike McDaniels came in, Tua was a young quarterback. And if your quarterback is not going to take the leadership role, someone has to. And then usually that falls on the head coach. But yeah, I feel like the characters there in Miami it has been reaching a boiling point for a few years now. And, with Tua, with his turnover issues, it's hard to even look at him as a leader, because the other players are just gonna be like, you're the reason. You're the reason we're losing right now. You're the reason you're putting us in bad spots, bad positions. And you're giving points to the other side of the field. It just becomes one of those things where there's no right answer. I feel like, unless you just blow it up in Miami, to be honest. Tua has a lot of talent. I feel like a lot of people. Kind of jock on him because of they call his noodle arm. He doesn't have the strongest arm. He just, you know, there's a running joke where he just throws it up because Tyreek's down the field somewhere. But I feel like he's shown and proven that he can make some throws, maybe not as consistently as you want an NFL quarterback or your franchise leading quarterback to make. But for me, Tua has some talent. Whether it's something that's going to lead you down to a Super Bowl victory, I don't think so. But there's going to have to be some changes over in Miami, whether that's Mike McDaniels, Tua, or both, or either or. Something's going to have to change eventually.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before the season that everybody, you know, not just us, thought that this was a make or break season for both of them.
Yeah.
Right. And so I don't think Mike McDaniel makes it through the season. Yeah. I really don't. But as far as Tua, his big thing and his key to success is he's extremely accurate,
mm-hmm.
and he has phenomenal timing. Right, he throws in rhythm. So anytime you knock him off of his spot or make him go to a second and third read, that's when those interceptions happen.
Right.
So as soon as he gets rattled or as soon as he doesn't see something that he likes in the defense, all bets are off on what's going to happen. Right. And so, you know, when he's in rhythm, when he gets to his first read, when he gets the ball out quick, he's great. And a lot of times that was very easy to do with a guy like Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think it's a little bit more challenging. And so I think that's part of the problem that you're seeing as far as performance-wise. But bigger picture, the culture with this team very clearly is just not there and is not okay.
Right. It's a circus over there right now.
Correct.
Yep.
All right. So yours were kind of depressing.
Oh, absolutely.
So I got some exciting, some uplifting top stories.
What?
I know. Considering my week, I know. Very surprised. So for me, the Giants struck gold with Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo.
Ooh.
I think that the combination of those two is exactly what this team needed, exactly what that city needed.
I feel like they exemplify New York City.
They're New York City, man. Yeah. Like, Dart is flashy. Cam just doesn't care. He'll run through a wall.
Yeah.
He'll run you over. He'll get in your face. He'll scream at you because he's excited.
Yeah.
Like, the energy that those two are bringing is just, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm not even a Giants fan, and I love watching them. Obviously, I'm biased. I love Cam Scataboo. Uh-huh. Forks up.
Yep.
But, I mean, Scataboo's numbers, just to start out the season, he's got 338 yards on 82 carries, which is 4.1 yards per rush, which is great. Five touchdowns, and he's also got 20 receptions in six games. Yep. So he's having a big impact. And then Dart, 508 yards. Mind you, he's only played three games.
Mm-hmm.
508 yards, four passing touchdowns, another two rushing touchdowns, an 87.8 rating, only two picks.
Okay.
And he's got 109 rush yards. So, I mean, he's making plays with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
He's making throws when he has to. I mean, he's doing this without Malik Nabers. He did it on Thursday without Darius Slayton.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you're within 10 yards, just give the ball to Cam Scataboo and let him run people over.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was against arguably one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
Who may or may not be in a downward spiral right now, but I mean, I was blown away the fact that they won, and just how what these two are doing for the team. I mean, Brian Daboll literally looks like he's in love with Jackson Dart.
Talk about rising from the ashes.
Dude,
Brian Daboll.
You see the way that he interacts with him on the sideline. Like, I saw a meme, and it was Jackson Dart coming off after one of their touchdowns. And, you know, Daboll just has the biggest smile on his face. He's patting him on the head. And the meme basically was like, one more touchdown, and Brian Daboll might literally kiss Jackson Dart. Like, and it's just hilarious because you can just tell he's at least right now, appears to be infatuated with him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't blame him. Yeah, I mean, you're going through the Daniel Jones era that obviously Daniel Jones is Daniel Indiana Jones this year, but previous years, man, it was some rough sledding right there. Then you go from Russell Wilson and then to Jackson Dart, who's kind of revamped your career, so to speak. I mean, Brian Daboll, I feel like he had sleepless nights thinking about how to save his job, but now it's like you're rolling with the good times right now with that Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo are dishing out right now. I mean, he went into the medical tent just to make sure.
Both of them did. Yeah. Daboll did. Cam Scataboo did. They both got kicked out. I thought Daboll was going to blow a blood vessel.
Give me back my quarterback. Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, it's fun to see a New York team get the liveliness.
Dude, we need it.
Yeah.
We need something.
At least one of them. At least one of the teams. Because it's been depressing days at MetLife, to be honest with you. Both with the Giants and the Jets. But, yeah, I mean, as much as we kid around with Brian Daboll and his job security, to me, this this is like lying in a bottle. Jackson Dart just literally revamped everything that the New York Giants franchise stood for. I feel like he puts up these sort of numbers and this sort of excitement for this year, all of a sudden Giants fans are going to be like, this is the future now. It's Cam Scatabu. It might even give him I want to say something, but I don't think it's going to happen. Give a little bit of forgiveness for letting Daniel Jones and Barkley escape.
They're going to have to do a lot more winning.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more winning. But, I mean, this is at least a side, a distraction, I want to say, from those times. So, I mean, good on the Giants front office for noticing and knowing who their guy is going to be in the draft and trading up to get Dart. To me, this is a home run pick. Dart and Scatabu are looking like franchise cornerstones for that offense, health withstanding. But yeah, I'm excited for the Giants in general, especially in that division where the Eagles and the Cowboys and the Commanders are flying high right now. Yeah. It's only for great competition that the Giants are there, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, I was really, as far as Scatabu, I was curious to see what his timeshare was going to look like on Thursday, just because Tyrone Tracy was back from the shoulder. You know, the last three, four weeks, he had been the bell cow, having, 75% of the touches because Tyrone Tracy was out with that dislocated shoulder. Well, he came back, and Scatabu was still the guy.
Three TDs,
98 rushing yards. He had 31 something fantasy points against you, by the way.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that
you're
up.
You're welcome. So I'm excited. I think nothing but good things to come for them. I hope it continues. And I hope, like you said, I hope they both are able to stay healthy, and so we can see what the remainder of the season is going to look like for them.
Yeah. Man. Imagine if they had a crazy wide receiver too, like a Malik Lewis.
Oh my gosh. Can you
bring
imagine?
It back in?
I mean.
Oh.
Yeah.
Give me Jamar Chase on that
trade. I know.
You know
side
what?
Note,
trade.
Side note real quick. This might be a little bit of an overreaction, but maybe, I don't know. But I feel like the fact that Scatabu was as amazing as he was in college, balled out the way that he did in the Peach Bowl, in the college football playoff, on the national stage, and fell to the fourth round, we could be GMs. We could be scouts. Like, I could have told you, and Dave Portnoy, who, he's from Barstool, he's a little bit of a tool, love him though. He basically said this on Big Noon kickoff on Saturday. Uh-huh. He's like, dude, anybody who watched college football knew that Cam Scatabu was going to be this.
Right.
Like, how did he fall to the fourth round? That's why, it baffles me sometimes. Guys that are busts and guys that end up being great.
Yeah. I think it falls into the uncategorized or intangibles, you can't put a number on it, sort of aspects of a player and a human being. And Cam Scatabu just has, that heart and soul of a football player. Like, he's going to be out there trucking people because he has one goal in mind, and that's to hit someone and reach the end zone. That is his one goal. It's like, remember your name, remember to breathe, and remember to score touchdowns. That's like all he cares about. And we saw that when he was at ASU. And to be honest with you, I feel like too many GMs or too many front offices in general just look at size and just look at, stuff that can potentially derail a career or, not plan out as the way you want it to. But when you have players or human beings that are going to give their heart and soul for your team and for your organization, those are the players that you take chances on, especially if they have the talent that Cam Scatabu does.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right, so my second one, also positive. I think we need to start giving Dave Canales a lot of props.
Dave Canales?
Dave Canales and the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
Who you're pissed off at basically all year. We've been picking against them.
You fell for the trap, too.
I did. I picked against them this week, too, and those guys are basically laughing at us.
They're on this show.
Yes,
I can almost guarantee.
They have to be. So, big win yesterday. Over the Dallas Cowboys, 30-27, had a game-winning field goal as time expired. Rico Dowdle has just been literally a revelation since Chuba Hubbard went out. The dude, 230 total yards in back-to-back games, which is insane,
unheard of.
Unheard of. So they're 3-3. They're, you know, they're back to 500. Very, very impressive win. Bryce Young is not, you know, balling out, but he's not making the critical errors that we especially were seeing early on last year.
Yeah.
So I would consider that, all things considered, growth.
To me, it's Ricky Dattle. Yeah. It's your run game.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, it all starts with the run game, sure.
Especially for Bryce Young, who's, you know, prone to maybe force the ball a little bit or make some, you know, head-scratching decisions here and there. The fact that Dattle's out here rushing for over 200 yards every week, talk about a load off for Bryce Young. Like, he, all of a sudden, he's a game manager. He doesn't have to be the number one overall pick, really, anymore to really lead that team. He handed the ball off, do some play-action pass here and there, and a naked bootleg, boom, bam, find McMillan,
who had two TDs yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And all of a sudden, you're sitting pretty there in Carolina. You're scoring 30 points.
Yeah, I mean, he has a 2-1 touchdown interception ratio so far for the season. He's got 10 and 5, yep, respectively, right? So not bad. He's averaging, I think, 190-ish yards per game. So again, he's not passing all over the field, but that's indicative of an amazing run game.
Yeah.
So it all goes hand in hand. So, super impressed with the Panthers. Did not expect that yesterday. I fully expected the Cowboys to very easily handle that game, and it just didn't happen.
Right.
So kudos to them. Kudos to Dave Canales, because, I mean, when you think about, what was it last season he got benched? It had to have been first 6 or 7 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's been around.
I mean,
time.
It was. It couldn't have had a worse start.
Yeah.
As a first time head coach with Dave Canales having to bench your number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Right. So I just think if you factor that into where they are now, I mean, huge props.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that, because, like, yeah, I agree with you. Dave Canales deserves all the credit in the world for pulling the right triggers at the right time. Obviously, the benching of Bryce Young was a huge one, and then inserting him back into your lineup and him balling out to the end of the year. And then this year, he definitely showed some regression from the end of last year, but to find a run game and to change your, I feel like he almost changed his philosophy as a head coach and how he runs that offense, to reinsert the dominance of a run game there. And it's done nothing but help Bryce Young and that Carolina team. All the credit in the world to Dave Canales, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, all right. So switching over to overreactions, what do you got this week?
So my first overreaction, sign Mike Tomlin to a lifetime extension right now.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Please tell me more.
4-1, the Steelers. Honestly, oh no, I can already tell that face. 23-9 over the Cleveland Browns this past week. They're 4-1. Honestly, you and me, I don't think we had a lot of expectations coming into the year for Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers he hasn't lit the world on fire, but at the same time, he's shown some flashes of some vintageness there at the QB position for Pittsburgh. I mean, their defense is still somewhat stalwart. To me, Pittsburgh in general, I feel like I'm just done doubting Mike Tomlin, to be honest with you. I know he's, you know, prone to fall for that 9-8 season, but you're talking about tough divisions. You're talking about, you know, the Ravens or the Bengals and the Browns, who are tough out in the AFC North. But, I mean, with down years from Cincinnati and Baltimore, Pittsburgh's just been chewing up wins right now. And to be honest with you, that's the sign of a coach that takes advantage of the teams that he needs to win against. So to me, I think it's almost obvious that it's, or almost a foregone conclusion, that Pittsburgh is going to win the division this year, with the injuries to Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. To me, like, I don't know how much more Mike Tomlin can do to warrant, you know, a little bit more easiness off his back to be like, hey, we get it. You're a great coach. You're a Hall of Fame caliber coach, and you're going to be here for a while.
Yeah, I think they're frauds. I think they're the beneficiaries of what turned out to be a horrible division.
Right.
Right. I mean, you're going up against, you have Aaron Rodgers going up against Cooper Rush, mm-hmm, Dylan Gabriel, and now Joe Flacco.
Oof.
Come on. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the division.
first round exit.
And who knows? Maybe they will continue to get better, because you never want to doubt Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs.
Right.
Right. He's still that guy. But you factor their four wins, right? Off the top of my head, Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
the Jets,
mm-hmm.
the Patriots, week two before the Patriots really took off.
Right.
And their fourth win, I can't even remember who it was.
I have to look.
So
not buying it, huh?
No, I'm not. And to be continued, right? It's only week six.
Yeah.
But this, it would not surprise me if, you know, come January, we're saying the exact same thing about Tomlin, which is one and done in the playoffs.
Yeah, the part that worries me about the Steelers is their run game, to be honest with you, because I don't know how much you can rely on Aaron Rodgers, especially if they host the game and, you know, you got that cold weather over in January in Pittsburgh. I don't know how much you're going to rely on throwing the ball and that sort of time of year. So Jalen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell, I believe.
Yeah, they're like kind of, you know, tag teaming it right now.
Right. And I feel like someone has to take the torch. I'm always, hey, Drake London.
Touchdown, Drake London. He's on my fantasy team. Thank you.
I feel like when you go running by committee, you always have to be careful about it, especially in the playoffs, because all of a sudden if you get two cool hands and, you know, you're flipping and flopping, both running backs, and no one can really, you know, take off and establish themselves as a runner. You're just playing with fire, and all of a sudden you're throwing the ball a lot more than you want to, and I feel like that's not Aaron Rodgers' game anymore. And in terms of Pittsburgh, their defense, I feel like we've seen in previous playoff games, they've kind of been solved during that time against good teams. So I agree with you.
Yeah, I got to see more.
Yeah,
I got to see more. I'm trying to find out who their last win or who their fourth win was against, because it's bothering me.
But I do want to give
Vikings.
The Vikings.
Carson Wentz. In London.
In London.
So, I mean, or I'm sorry, Dublin.
Oh.
Ireland. So, yep,
get it right.
Again, another backup quarterback that they beat. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's a good overreaction, though.
Yeah,
for the segment, it fits perfectly.
Yeah.
On to the next.
Yeah. On to the next. So you kind of stole my thunder with the Carolina Panthers did.
Okay.
So, but I'll say it out loud. Chuba Hubbard's injury was the greatest thing to happen to the Carolina Panthers.
And the worst thing to happen to my fantasy team.
The worst thing to happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, dude, he's never going to see the field again.
Chuba who?
Chuba. He's never going to see the field again, the poor guy.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you?
Yeah, it's terrible because you talked about Cam Skedaboo, his 4.1 yards average per rush. That's Chuba Hubbard's yards average, but the problem is Rick O'Dowdle is 5.8.
That's 5.8. Insane. 6 yards a carry.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
Two runs and he's got a first down. Like, how can you ignore that sort of production right now from Rick O'Dowdle? So I'm sorry, Chuba Hubbard, but you righted the ship.
Oh, I need to go to the waiver wire is what you're telling me.
Yeah, he righted the ship one way or another for Carolina, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think that that's an overreaction at all, and I'm kind of disappointed that now I don't have a starting running back on my fantasy team. So there's that.
Yep. So there you go. We're
all right.
We
short and sweet.
It.
I love it. Yeah. All right. Starting out hot here. Kansas City is the only true threat to Buffalo in the AFC.
Kansas City.
I mean, it, as much as it pisses me off to write that and to say it out loud, how can you not after last night?
Yeah.
A dominant performance over top five team in the NFC. In the Lions, 30-17. It was never really that close, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Lions looked somewhat stagnant on offense. And you know, on the flip side, the Chiefs just look like they have figured it out. I mean, I know they lost last week. Mahomes threw that uncharacteristic pick six against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But quite honestly, it seems like Xavier Worthy coming back, and he didn't have the biggest impact last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he had a touchdown.
Yep.
But not a lot of yards, not a lot of catches, but he just does something to that defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that they have figured it out offensively and will continue, right? It's only week six.
Mm.
And we know for teams like Kansas City, it doesn't start till January. So I think that when we're going to be having the exact same conversation every January, which is, can the Bills get past the Chiefs? And
right.
It pisses me off because I want the Chiefs to just fall into oblivion.
that's excessive, but yeah, I'm looking at these teams right now in the AFC, and I'm trying
to. So that's what I wrote down. Sorry, not to cut you off, but who out of those teams that you're about to name, who do you trust? Who do you have more confidence in that they're going to potentially beat the Bills? Because I don't think you disagree that the Bills are the class of the AFC right now.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Yeah, so the Bills are up there. The biggest contender?
I'm looking. I'm trying to make a debate in my head for any of these teams. I mean, you got the Colts at 5-1. I mean, it's hard to overlook, but at the same time, I feel like we don't really see, you know, franchises that have a turnaround like this rapidly really make it to the big game that frequently. Obviously, we look at Sam Darnold and Geno Smith and what they did and when they kind of had a career resurgences in Minnesota and Seattle. I mean, they didn't reach their. I don't think they either reached their championship game, the NFC championship.
No.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let alone the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's hard for the Colts. I mean, they have a run game though. Jonathan Taylor obviously is as great as anyone in NFL in terms of the running back position. Their defense, I feel like, is questionable, allowing 27 points to Jacoby Brissett and the Cardinals this past week isn't a glare of hope. To be honest with you, but I mean, beyond that, obviously we touched on the Steelers, Jaguars. It's hard for me to envision Trevor Lawrence leading that team over Buffalo. Chargers, that's rough. The Broncos have the defense for it. The problem is, I'm not sure what you're going to get on offense.
Correct. And they're way too inconsistent on offense.
Yeah, I don't know
the
if
the fact that they scored 13 points against a bottom five, and that's putting it politely, mm-hmm. a bottom five defense in the NFL and the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if England, London, had something to do with it, the travel. I believe I heard that they traveled from Philadelphia all the way to London immediately afterwards. So they had the week to accustom themselves to London time. But... yeah, it's right. And then we have the Patriots. I mean, who are sneaky competitors there in the AFC East in general. Obviously, they're the ones who handed the Bills their loss. But, I mean, is it Drake May's time?
I still think it's too early.
Yeah, it's way too early.
The same conversation you're having about the Colts, I think you can apply to the Patriots.
Yeah.
So, you're making my point perfectly for me. When it comes right down to it, it's going to be the Chiefs and the Bills.
Yeah, the Chiefs definitely would.
I mean, we can
fast
forward another 12 weeks to get to the divisional round, the championship round.
Right.
It's gonna,
wherever they
I wholeheartedly believe it's going to be the Bills and the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the way it looks like it to me, to be honest with you. I agree with that.
And so my next one, John Harbaugh is not going to make it through the year.
Ooh.
In Baltimore.
Ooh.
I just don't. I don't see how this can continue in this fashion. And he still has a job. The one thing I feel like he has going for him, I looked up his contract. He just signed an extension in March.
Oof.
So he's there through 2028, at least on paper.
Right.
So, I mean, they're 1-5. You can't even say, Lamar Jackson, because they were 1-3 without him.
Mm-hmm.
Or with him, excuse me. So, I don't know. They have a bye week coming up. Allegedly, he's going to be good after the bye week, he being Lamar Jackson. We'll see what happens. But they're just making they had first and goal on the one against the Rams this week. And with Derrick Henry, mind you, in the backfield. And they got stuffed all four times. Zay Flowers fumbled the ball twice yesterday. They didn't score a single touchdown. They lost 17-3.
Yeah.
They look lifeless as a team.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what happens when your, Pro Bowl quarterback is ouch.
Yeah. That hurt.
Oh, Josh Palmer. He just got not a horse collar, but pretty much a horse collar, and his knee looks jacked.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's okay. But I don't see how they recover from this to be a factor at the end of the season.
Yeah. If this was like a second-year head coach or something, I'd be all about it. But for it to be John Harbaugh and the tenure he's had there in Baltimore, he's won a Super Bowl there. I feel like they'd at least give him the benefit of the doubt to let him finish the year.
How long do you get to play the Super Bowl card, though? Because it's been 13 years, right? So they won it in 2012. He's 13-11 in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So not a great record.
Right. It's not exemplary. But at the same time, you look at, some of these other head coaches. You look at Tennessee. They just fired Brian Callahan. unless the Ravens have someone in mind directly afterwards, I feel like it's hard to really move on from Harbaugh in the middle of the year. Even if they end up with a lackadaisical record, like 5-12 or whatever, I feel like they're going to at least finish out the year and maybe be a Patriots Bill Belichick sort of parting where both parties part ways mutually without really any headlines or incidents. But for me, a firing of John Harbaugh would be almost nuclear, to be honest with you. That would have a shakedown from top to bottom on that organization.
Yeah, I mean, my only argument, and you're kind of making it as well, is like teams would kill to have a John Harbaugh.
Oh yeah,
you know. So that's the tough part.
Yeah.
So we'll see if Baltimore is able to not be one of those teams we talked about at the beginning that makes that impatient, overreactive type move.
Yeah.
With the coaching change. I hope they don't. I love John Harbaugh.
Right.
Just like I like, you know, I love Mike Tomlin, all those guys that have been around forever.
Yeah.
But this is, to me, this is screaming like new voice. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, that'll wrap up our overreactions. We will jump into power rankings. I'll let you go first. I had a heck of a time. 3 out of my top 5 teams lost last week. And so I really had to kind of figure out how much do I want those losses to impact my top 5?
Yeah.
But I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I feel like you had the same hard time that I had last week. Because only one of my top 5 lost from last week, and that was Lions. So the Lions dropped out of my top 5, but I'll start with the Colts. They won. They were number 1 last week. I'm not going to drop them.
You had the Colts 1 last week?
Yeah, I had the Colts 1 last week. All right. Yep, so they stay neutral. The Bills are number 2. So as we were talking about earlier, as of right now, I feel like the Colts are rolling. Whether that's the same story in January, we'll see. Number 3, I got the Bucks. Baker Mayfield is putting up a heck of an MVP caliber season. I feel like that man just cannot be stopped under any circumstance. And then the Steelers at number 4, which is surprising.
Wow. Yep. Okay.
But I feel like there's some respect to be named for Mike Tomlin right now. And then number 5, as cringy as it is to point out, I put the Broncos, even though they had somewhat of a lackadaisical effort. But they were number 5.
That's why I couldn't do it. I thought about them. After the way they played against the Jets, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, they were number 5 last week in my power rankings. I didn't want to drop them for winning ugly, especially in another continent. And I mean, defense travels, and their defense travels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 9 sacks.
9 sacks.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I had the Bills last week, number 1, even after their loss. I didn't want to overreact too much. I kept them at number 1. Obviously, they're playing right now. They're actually losing, shockingly enough, as we sit right now.
Yep.
Atlanta's offense looks amazing so far in this game.
Yep.
But number 1, I still have the Bills. Number 2, I have Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield is my MVP right now. He's incredible. Number 3, I have Kansas City. Because I can't say what I said as far as an overreaction and have any other AFC team ahead of them.
At 3-3, huh?
So Kansas City number 3, the Colts number 4. And then my 5th one, I kind of, you know, I hemmed and hawed. You could convince me of any other team. I put Green Bay.
Okay.
You know, they're 3-1-1. They had that weird tie against the Cowboys. Dominated Detroit week 1. I really wanted to put Detroit. But I had a hard time putting Detroit over Green Bay because I still think Detroit is really good, even after the loss last night.
Man.
But I settled with Green Bay. You could convince me otherwise. But that is my top 5. Yeah, the Kansas City at number 3, I originally had them 5, and I had the Colts ahead of them. And I was like, well, I can't exactly do that after I just said that they're the biggest competition to the Bills.
Right.
So that's where that logic came from.
Gotcha.
All right. We will wrap it up this week with the worst segment of our show, which is our picks.
Yeah, if you actually want to get this right, so you can stop now.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? And I know you said this off air before we started, but like we both have winning records on ESPN picking our games weekly.
We do.
Which is just insane. I'm going to look it up right now, what our records. I mean, they're not great, but they're at least winning records.
Yeah, we're in like the 60th percentile.
Yeah, so hold on. Let me find it.
Yeah.
Pigskin Pick'em. There it is.
Pigskin Pick'em.
So... Stop.
Stop.
All right. So Jeff has a better record. You're 52-38.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 14 games over 500. That's a 66th percentile. I'm 50-40. So 10 games over 500, 63rd percentile. So again, not world beaters by any means, but right. Like, I went 0-3 last week.
What are we doing
here? What the freak? What is happening? The worst idea we ever had was to pick our locks against the spread. The absolute worst idea.
I think it's going to be a one and done sort of idea.
Yes, we are not doing this next year. It's going to go down as the worst idea in the history of the show, Jeffrey. Oh, my God.
You had every right to veto.
Dude, this is ridiculous. So just to summarize our crappiness, last week I had, what did I have?
What did you have?
I had the Cowboys over the Panthers at -3.5. I thought that was a cakewalk. My upset, I had the Titans over the Raiders. I thought the Raiders were horrible. Apparently, the Titans are the ones that are horrible. And then the game of the week, Detroit and Kansas City, I picked Detroit. So 0-3 for me this week, which brings me to 5-13.
That's awesome.
Dude, 5-13. What are we doing? This is so bad. What did you do?
I went 1-2.
Okay, so not much better.
So we both picked the Lions. I mean, honestly, that was kind of a shocker, to be honest with you.
Agreed.
And that came. I feel like the Lions were just not all there. But my upset, I got wrong. I had the Jags over the Seahawks. They lost by 8. I mean, it's two good teams going after one another.
Oh no, Josh Allen's hurt.
No way.
He just got sacked. Oh,
he's up. He's up.
He's flexing his wrist. All right.
No, he's just not on the floor.
That's something to watch.
Yep. Then my lock, I had the Rams over the Ravens, and the Rams were favored by 7.5 points.
Okay. So, yeah, that was risky. I mean, the spread portion of it.
Yeah. To me, I was just convinced that there was no way the Ravens were going to, keep up with, I felt like, the Rams' offensive output. But I mean, if the Ravens had scored a touchdown, I would have lost that one.
Yeah, you're right. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you got this week?
So with my picks, I got the Steelers or the Bengals. Another backup QB that the Steelers are facing. Obviously, on a short week. They've been scorching backup QBs all year, so they'll keep the theme. 5.5 points they're favored by.
Okay.
So I'm looking for them to win by 6 or more. My upset, it's risky. It's another couple of good teams facing off with one another, but I got the Colts over the Chargers. I feel like the Colts are still playing at a high level, while the Chargers are kind of coming back down to earth in a way.
Yeah, they're not playing well.
Yes. Chargers are actually favored in this game by 1.5.
Is it in L.A.?
It's in L.A.
Yeah.
That's probably why. And then our game of the week is the Lions and the Bucks. This is the Monday night game.
Yeah.
So we won't have the official record come next week when we do the next week's episode, but we felt like this was, worthy of being a little bit,
little
extra.
Delayed.
Yep. So I'm going with the Lions again.
Okay.
Over the Bucks. It's in Detroit. The Lions, I feel like after putting an effort like they did yesterday, I feel like they're going to be a little bit more motivated next week.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so my lock, I'm taking the Eagles over the Vikings.
Okay.
Eagles favored by 1.5. Honestly, that's why I took it, because I think if they win, they're going to win by more than 2 points. They're going to win by 2 or more.
Right.
And whether it's J.J. McCarthy, whether it's Carson Wentz, I do not expect the Eagles to lose 3 in a row.
Yeah.
That'd
be rough.
If they do. So that one I feel really good about. This next one, I'm kind of drinking the Kool-Aid here, and it might turn out to bite me in the butt, but I'm taking the Giants over the Broncos as my upset, -6.5.
Okay.
So it's in Denver, which makes me nervous, but let's see if Cam and Jackson Dart can do it again.
Yeah, that's risky.
Yeah.
Because if there's a...
Dude, don't look
go
now.
Go Bijan.
Dude, no.
Bijan. Goodbye. How long was that?
That was long. That was a long touchdown.
I needed that against you,
dude,
by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
81. Shoot me in the face.
15.
81 yards.
15 points right there.
Oh, that's killer.
I think you were up on me by like 30.
A lot, yeah.
A lot, thanks.
Don't look now, dude. The Falcons are up, pending extra point, 21-7 over the Bills.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oof. Okay.
I don't even know where I was at. Giants over the Broncos, 6.5. Mm-hmm. Broncos favorite by 6.5. And then I took the Bucks over the Lions, which the reason you took the Lions is what makes me very nervous about this.
Yeah.
I don't see the Lions losing 2 in a row.
Yeah, that's why.
But I'm just on such a high with the Bucks and with Baker. that it's hard for me to pick against them right now.
Yeah.
They're playing better.
Yeah, I tried talking myself into buying the Bucks on this game, but I was like, the Lions and Troy Monday night, you know, coming out of a sloppy, you know, showing on Sunday night against the Chiefs. I felt like this was a game to set yourself straight.
Let's just check what this freaking score is now of our matchup.
Oh, of our matchup?
Yeah.
Oh, a little extra.
I got you by 14 still.
One more of those and it's game over.
Do you have anybody playing besides it? No.
No, that's it.
So I'm done. I got you by 14 right now. So
don't I have Prater?
Oh, that... yeah. Oh, yeah, you that. Do. You have Prater. So I'm going to lose. Love it. I hate sports. I hate sports so much.
Oh, man.
This is just not a week. Good week for me.
Great week.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed. We will be back, as always, next week to talk about how good the Jets are and to break down all the top stories and laugh at ourselves, really, because I feel like you got to be able to laugh. I mean, the show is literally called What Do They Know?
Yeah.
We're going on air, on record. We don't know jack.
Yeah, everything we know is like off air stuff.
Correct. Well,
like as soon as we go on air, we blink.
Yeah,
you know,
we're just having fun. Hope you guys enjoyed. As always, cool. We'll be back and better than ever next week. Have a great week.
Yeah, have a great week. See ya.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.